Our scripture for this morning is found in the Hebrew scriptures at Isaiah chapter 7. It's just five verses, verses 10 through 14. And we will read beginning at verse 10. And this is what it says. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. A woman will be with child, and we will name him Emmanuel. It's miraculous. It's miraculous. There is no greater expectation in time than that of waiting for the birth of a child. It's miraculous. The waiting. When the announcement of a new child is made, friends get pumped up, waiting to see what that little boy or girl will look like, what that little bundle of joy will bring when it comes into the world, whether it'll be their new godson or daughter or grandson or granddaughter. Relatives get so juiced up waiting, they can hardly wait to see what qualities their little niece or nephew or cousin will have that reminds them of themselves. And grandparents. Well, grandparents are always the first to remind you from previous experience that if they had known that the grandchildren were going to be so much fun, they'd have had them first. So waiting for them is a marvelous time of expectation. And no one, absolutely no one, is prouder or more elated or filled with more expectation than the parents of that expected child. Just knowing that a new life, your new life, is waiting to emerge is a time of both comfort and discomfort, of certainty and uncertainty, of great peace and great anxiety. It's always a time of waiting, of waiting for love to be born. But what if the birth that you're so anxiously and excitedly anticipating and waiting for was the birth of God within us? And what if the parents' names weren't Elizabeth or Mary? What if the child of God waiting to be born was the God being nurtured inside of you? How long does God have to wait before that birth takes place? We all seem to be waiting for the love of God to appear in one form or another. That's what Christmas is really all about. We're waiting for the birth of Jesus, the love of God to be birthed into our world. Our biblical stories are in many ways still told to highlight that momentous occasion. We revisit it every year Zechariah and Elizabeth were waiting for God's love to give birth to God's promise of a son and the love of God inside of Elizabeth. She was waiting for God to vindicate her before the people in her community. In her time and culture, her value as a woman was determined by her ability to bring forth a child. The love of God growing inside of her would come and remove the stain of disgrace that was upon her for not being a woman that was fully considered a woman until she had a child. And his birth will vindicate her because her son, Elizabeth's son, will be especially anointed by God. The Holy Spirit would be on him even before he was out of the womb. Mary finds out that she is going to be the recipient of a mixed blessing. She too is going to have a baby. She is engaged, but she's still a virgin. She is the fulfillment of 700 years of promise made to a king named Ahaz during the time of the prophet Isaiah. But her blessing is a mixed one because she is a virgin. And she will be waiting for the birth of her child, God's promised son, to remove the awkward looks from those who may be counting the months between the wedding and the birth of her child to see if 9 months passed before the wedding took place. The nation of Israel is waiting for the birth of their Messiah to come, to make their enemies their footstool and exalt them before the rest of the world. They're all waiting for the love of God to come, and yet none of them can see the birth of God unfolding in their midst. Their days are filled with waiting, and God is active in their lives doing just what God has promised that God would do. He would send a Savior, someone who would take away the disgrace of the people. God has promised this for years, and people have waited for years. This happened once, but now we have to relive the story again. We relive it as a reminder that God, our God, is doing the same thing today as God has always done. You see, brothers and sisters, God is in the habit of taking away our disgrace. That's what God does. And if we take a look at the story of Ahaz, and we take a look at the story of Isaiah, we understand that this has been on the table for a long time. As you said, it's been 700 years. And our disgrace has always been there. We've always been people for whom acceptance is a necessary reality of life. We live and long to be accepted by our friends, our families, by those who know us and those who don't. And being accepted can be really difficult. Elizabeth was the wife of a priest, but the lack of being able to have a child in a culture where bearing a child was important was a sign of acceptability, made her a woman, and she could not produce. God stepped in to take away her disgrace. And it doesn't just happen in biblical ways. We want to be accepted and acceptable today as well. And a lot of things prevent us from being accepted. Not having enough money, perhaps not having a job, or no food, or not enough clothing, not being smart enough, or tall enough, or strong enough, or athletic enough, can all lead to feelings of disgrace and unacceptability from family, friends, and strangers. Sometimes it just depends on where we are in our lives at the time. Sometimes it just depends on what our status is. We come into this world And we look for God to do something magnificent. We come into this world and we expect God to do something that is miraculous. And what we forget in that context is that we sometimes start leaning on ourselves. We sometimes start depending on ourselves to make sure that what it is we're saying and what it is we're doing and how it is we're acting all pump us up, make us look good. When in reality, that's not what God says. What God says is this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. God invites us to not trust in ourselves, but to trust in God. And that doesn't mean that we've tested God. We didn't ask God for a sign, but God's sign of faithfulness is revealed to us in God's resolution of whatever situation we're going to. God's proof of faithfulness was shown in how God fixed what was wrong in our lives, which for us seemed to be miraculous. You see, brothers and sisters, I've been in one of those situations before. When I was in an uncompromising situation and my back was against the wall and there was nowhere for me to turn, and the only difference in my situation was that God didn't invite me to ask for a sign as he did Ahaz. I asked God to do something that everyone that I had talked to said couldn't be done, and I want to tell you that the hardest part of my request of God was the waiting. I was in an untenable situation. I couldn't help myself, and there was no one I could turn to who could help me but God. And so I asked for what I thought was the whole world. And what God delivered to me was the universe. It was a miracle. Or perhaps if my story, absent of all the details of what was going on, seemed vague, then perhaps this story of the spacecraft, Apollo 13, will give you some insight into how God operates. With the fate of the astronaut Jim Lovell and his crew in jeopardy, an old interview airs on television where he talks about the faith of finding his way on one flight, on one airplane, on one night, when God came through and did something miraculous. Watch and listen as he explains what we might say was a miracle, but went beyond what was normal.
Apollo 13 Commander Jim Lovell has more time in space, almost 24 days already, than any other man. And I asked him recently if he ever was scared.
Oh, well, I've had an engine flame out a few times in an aircraft and was kind of curious as to whether it was going to light up again, things of that nature. But they seem to work out.
Is there a specific instance in an airplane emergency when you can recall fear?
Well, I tell you, I remember this one time. I'm in a Banshee at night in combat condition, so there's no running lights on the carrier. It was the Shangri-La when we were in the Sea of Japan, and my radar had jammed, and my homing signal was gone because somebody in Japan was actually using the same frequency, and so it was leading me away from where I was supposed to be. And I'm looking down at a big black ocean, so I flip on my map light, and then suddenly, zap, everything shorts out right there in my cockpit. All my instruments are gone, my lights are gone, and I can't even tell now what my altitude is. I know I'm running out of fuel, so I'm thinking about ditching in the ocean. And I look down there, and then in the darkness, there's this green trail. It's like a long carpet that's just laid out right beneath me, and it was the algae, right? It was that phosphorescent stuff that gets churned up in the wake of a big ship, and it was just leading me home. Now, If my cockpit lights hadn't shorted out, there's no way I'd have ever been able to see that. So, you never know what events are going to transpire to get you home.
And every time God does something that is miraculous, we stand in awe of what God has done and what God is doing. Our God took what people said was an impossibility for me and not only made it possible, but made it a very present reality in my life. And for astronaut Jim Lavelle, it was an impossible journey home, but God took what was impossible and turned it into something very possible and real. To someone on the outside, it would have seemed like magic, but there was nothing magical about it. It was merely God acting in faithfulness to do what God calls possible, but is impossible for us. It was miraculous. You see, brothers and sisters, at times a sign from God is nothing more than miraculous. It's miraculous because it's an opportunity for us to act in faith while waiting on God to do what God has promised to do. But it's also an opportunity for us to see God's faithfulness in action in our lives. It's an opportunity for God to show that there is nothing that we can't ask God for, whether it be as high as heaven or whether it reaches to the very pits of hell, that is outside of God's ability to accomplish. God takes what is unimaginable for us and turns it into a miraculous display of God's power and of God's faithfulness. You see, friends, as we consider what for Ahaz, Isaiah, and Jerusalem was the dawn of salvation, there would be so many things that would take place that would seem out of the normal.
Oh.
Not the least of which would be the birth of a child to a virgin. And it doesn't matter whether someone believes with some modern scholars that the term in Hebrew for virgin merely denotes a young woman of marriageable age, whether married or unmarried, whether a virgin or not. It doesn't matter whether the sign God provides is a sign to describe the woman's pregnancy. Mary's pregnancy, the child's birth, his name, his diet, his time of arrival, or the time of his delivery, God, out of faithfulness to Isaiah and to us, speaks about things that are outside of the norm, but are, in our minds, miraculous. It's miraculous whether it happened in Isaiah's time or whether it came 500 or 700 years later. It's miraculous to us that God has the power and the ability to bring to pass what God promised with such clarity. It's a miraculous thing that it is beyond our ability to comprehend how God does it. It's beyond our ability to perform it or even to make it happen in our time. But God has the power to reach beyond the limits of time. God has the power to reach beyond the limits of space. God has the power to deliver things which seem impossible to us, and yet to us seem nothing short of miraculous. While God is doing that which for God is an everyday thing, to us, it's miraculous. And yet there's nothing magical about it. It is the Almighty and the all-powerful God doing what it is natural for God to do, doing what those of us who are mortal can't do but call miraculous. It's miraculous that God continues providing opportunities to us to build and increase our faith. It's miraculous that God would allow God's own Son to be the sun that rises upon the dawn of our salvation, given how often we've doubted and denied God's love for us. It's miraculous given our desire to trust more in ourselves than in God. It's miraculous that in God's love and mercy, God would continue to give us time after time after time after time after time to repent and place our trust in God. Isn't that why Jeremiah proclaims in his book of Lamentations, Jeremiah says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And isn't that what Peter meant when he said, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. You see, brothers and sisters, God is more patient with us than we are with ourselves. And God has been more patient with us, waiting on us to come to repentance. After all of the times we've been disloyal, God, failed God, doubted God, distrusted God, denied God, avoided God, dishonored God, abandoned God. It's both amazing and miraculous that God continues proving God's love and faithfulness to us after all of these years and all of these failures. It's miraculous that we can still call what God can do miraculous because we often don't do it and can't do it. Maybe that's because when we do something that seems impossible, we call it phenomenal and outstanding, blind luck or magic. But when God does what we find impossible, it's just God being God, doing for us that which seems to be miraculous. And maybe it is miraculous. Maybe it is miraculous. For who has known the mind of God, or who has been his counselor? If for no other reason than God knew it, proclaimed it, brought it to pass in God's own time, is what God does as miraculous. That God loves us with the love with which God loves us, and that God brought Jesus to us as the dawn of our salvation to prove it. That, brothers and sisters, is miraculous. And you cannot change it, ever. And that's the word of God today for people of God today. As we prepare for song of invitation, we come now to an opportunity for us to hear one of our own. So Ed Tucker will come and honor us and his God with a selection. My tribute. Just love you, my life. Church, that was worth at least two amens. Amen. Amen. And now we prepare for our time of giving, and our scripture says, the chief priest Azariah, who was of the house of Zadok, answered him, since they began to bring the contributions into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty to spare, for the Lord has blessed his people, so that we have this great supply left over. That's their response to what happens when you're a tithing community. As they come forward this morning, let us begin to consider, if you have a gift to send in, to send it to Mason Memorial Community Church and Post Office Box 2373, Kansas City, Kansas 661-10-0373. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, for the gift of life that you give to each of us, for the miraculous things that you do in our lives that are common to who you are, we ask your blessings, especially upon these gifts which we bring into your house. And we acknowledge, O God, that these are not our gifts, but these are gifts that you have already given to us. So what we return is not ours, but yours. And we pray, O God, that we may have given faithfully so that these gifts may be blessed and multiplied, so that, as the scripture says, there will be plenty for here and enough left over. Allow us to use it, O God, to help someone know that what you do in our lives is miraculous. We pray this in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Now, if you would join with me in our closing prayer. Almighty God, empower me to trust in your promises throughout eternity as evidence that when you speak, your words are miraculous life and truth. And now may the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rest with each one and in each one until Christ comes again, and he will come, faithful to his promise, and claim us as his very own. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Those who are worshiping online, good morning and blessings to you all. I'm actually sitting behind a virtual screen there, that helps some. Pray you're all doing well this morning and that God has blessed you and enriched you and is touching your life even now as we prepare for Christmas, which is about 17 days, 2.5 weeks away. I invite you to be mindful to keep your prayers going for Keith Smith and Keith's family, and also to continue to lift up Wanda and Willa Collins and their family. And if there aren't any willing to speak this morning, then I will simply ask for your blessings, and God willing, we'll see you next week, same time, same place. Checking out in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and done.